The Lost King by Robbie McNiven, read by John Banks. The World Wolf's Lair, Svelgard. Logan Grimnar, the Fang Father, the Old Wolf, the High King of Fenris, was dead. So the demons said. They howled and shrieked and gibbered the news from warp-spawn throats that shouldn't have been capable of intelligible words. But the servants of the dark gods had never concerned themselves with nature's constraints. Logan Grimnar is dead.
They lie, Sven growled.
The young wolf lord was clutching his double-headed battle axe, Frostclaw, with such intensity that his whole armored body was shaking.
They lie!
They are warp scum, Olaf Blackstone said. Lying is the sole reason for their existence.
The white-pelted bloodguard stood behind and slightly to the right of his lord, yellow eyes surveying the bleak hills that lay barely a mile across the icy sea. Those hills now undulated with a living carpet of demons, like an infestation of lice swarming over a rotting skull. They had appeared not half an hour before, crawling like primordial nightmares from the depths of Svelgard's oceans. They were massing for an attack, cohorts of lesser demons marshalling beneath the nightmarish banners of their gods, and as they did so, their deranged shrieks carried across the cold waters to Sven and the rest of his fire-howler space wolves.
"They're trying to provoke us," Olaf said, "hoping we divide our forces."
Sven Bloodhowl opened his mouth to reply, then paused as the hammering of bolter fire broke out behind him. His great company was still purging the last of the defences at the heart of the World Wolf's Lair, burning the shrieking demons from their holes with gouts of blazing promethium, before mowing them down with mass reactive rounds. Progress reports trickled back constantly over the Vox as the noose tightened around the last weird spawn left in the depths of the fortified missile control nexus. 9 packs, the entirety of Sven's great company, were stalking the bunkers, redoubts and weapon emplacements arrayed in concentric circles around the Rock Creek Keep dominating the island's center. They would not stop until they had hunted down every last creature from the first demonic wave to have overrun the island.
"I'm provoked," Sven said, as the bolter echoes were snatched away by Svelgard's cruel wind. "What's the status of the Drakebanes?" 10 of the pups still able to wield a chainsword. "And the Firestones?" "Only 5. Weirgid is among the dead. The survivors are still hungry, though, as are our Wolfen."
"Then you shall lead them, Olaf. Vox Torvind, Krega, Untir, and Istun. Have them return from the central bunkers and assemble here, and 2 Thunderhawks."
"Godspear and Wolfdorn have both refueled and rearmed. They are inbound from the fleet. Expected arrival in 10 minutes.
"Then they shall be the vehicles of our wrath. A wolf should never suffer a liar."
In truth, Sven had not killed enough today. His heart still raced and his fingers itched. The thought of weirdling filth defiling not just Svelgard, but all the worlds of his home system brought up an instinctive urge to lash out. He had not had word from any of the other battle zones for hours. As far as he was aware, Harald Deathwolf was still consolidating on nearby Frostheim, while Egil Ironwolf and the Great Wolf were engaged on Midgardia. The demonic taunts reached him again from across the narrow sea, and he shuddered. They were wrong. Logan Grimnar was not dead. He couldn't be.
"To attack is unwise, my Jarl," Olaf said, still watching the nearby island. "There are doubtless more such filth spawning from the rifts below the waves all about us. If we split our forces, we invite annihilation."
Sven turned to face his old packmate, and although rage still burned in the wolf lord's grey eyes, his tattooed features and strong, stubble-lined jaw were clenched with a tight smile.
"Are your fangs getting too long for all this, Olaf?" he asked.
The Bloodguard champion returned his gaze levelly, without expression. too old to be so easily drawn.
"Don't tell me 100-odd kills are enough to sate you for one day," Sven pressed. "If the Bloodguard aren't with me, I'm sure the Oathbound would take your place. Or the Fireworms."
Olaf still said nothing, but there was a chill whisper of naked steel as his wolf claws slid free from his gauntlets.
"If you wish to teach monsters not to lie," the Bloodguard said, "then I will be as happy as ever to assist with the lesson."
7 miles south of the Magma Gates, Midgardia.
"Logan Grimnar is dead."
The demon choked on the words, a flood of writhing maggots spilling from its locked jaw. Eagle Ironwolf slammed his boot down on the fallen plaguebearer's skull, smashing it to a grey, squirming pulp.
"Strike force, Mokai! Come in!"
the Iron Wolf snapped into the vox. His only answer was static discord. It had been the same for over an hour now. He fought back the urge to stamp down again on the plaguebearer as it sank back into the ooze that had once been the jungle floor.
"My Jarl, we must return to the Iron Fist."
The voice of Conran Wolfhide, the pack leader of his Iron Guard, cut in over the link.
"We can't stay out here. This entire place is toxic. It will eat us alive."
Egil knew Conran was right, but still he hesitated. The purple spore jungles of Midgardia had been transformed beyond all recognition by Nurgle's rotting touch, once mighty trunks now swollen with blight and infested by gigantic maggots, their leaves turned black with decay. The ground underfoot had been reduced to a fetid, clawing pusbog that writhed with worms and sightless, snapping maws. Egil's great company had been battling through the corruption for hours, part of the two-pronged counterattack designed to sweep the weirdlings off Midgardia and retake its subterranean cities. The offensive, however, was becoming bogged down in every sense of the word. Even worse, the runic Uvik script that flashed across Egil's visor warned him that the poisonous fog clouding the air was rapidly stripping away layer after layer of his power armor. Even reinforced ceramite, sealed by the Iron Priests and blessed by the Wolf Priests, was no match for Midgardia's acidic air. The rest of Egil's great company was faring no better. Howls of agony occasionally interrupted the vox chatter as the nightmarish atmosphere penetrated an unfortunate warrior's armored joints or ate through his visor's lenses, causing flesh to blister and slough away in just a few heartbeats. Egil had ordered all packs to withdraw to the sealed interiors of their transports while he continued to try to make contact with Strike Force Mokai, with the great wolf, Logan Grimnar.
"Back to Iron Fist," Egil finally said.
Around him, heavy bolters and las cannons hammered and cracked as the armored might of the Iron Wolves sought to keep the shuffling, slime-soaked Nurgle Talibans at bay. For the past hour, the droning weird spawn had showed little desire to close with the spearheads of Egil's stalled advance, apparently content to soak up their firepower among the blighted trees and let the spores of the infested jungle do their work for them. Egil had been forced to halt his grinding offensive when the vox had lost all contact with Grimnar's own thrust, which was supposed to have been keeping pace below, following Midgardia's labyrinth of underground tunnels and passageways. Communication had been intermittent right from the beginning, but now it was gone entirely, and the counteroffensive wasn't even a day old. Egil was the last member of the great company to return to his transport, slamming the sealing rune on the hatch behind him. Within Iron Fist's red-lit hold, Conran and the 5 other members of his pack waited, their grey battle plate befouled with a thick layer of pestilential filth. They were all that remained of Egil's Iron Guard. His Terminators had been lent to Grimnar when he had descended into Midgardia's depths with the champions of Fenris. He felt their loss almost as acutely as he did that of the Great Wolf himself. He activated the cogitator monitor bolted above the hold's crew hatch, uploading the latest combat schematics to its gently pulsing screen display. His great company had been divided into 4 spears of Russ, one for each point on the map. Fists of Predator and Vindicator battle tanks supported rhinos, razorbacks, and land raiders filled with the footpacks. They'd punched out from their base at the magma gates and swept all before them. Now they were stalled and separated, the blinking runes representing each spear static and beset by assaulting icons. The Midgardian defense forces, acting as their reserves, were suffering even worse. Their fragile human physiologies no match for the deadliest of the plague god's diseases. Egil watched their casualty percentages for a moment, seeing them tick up steadily with each passing second. Even the most basic military mind would have acknowledged that their position had become an impossible one. The Iron Wolf activated his vox, blink-clicking to add the Iron Wolf pack leaders from all four spears to the channel.
"This is Egil," he said. "Without word from Strike Force Morkai, the gains we have made over the past 2 hours are no longer tenable. We must assume it is possible for Weird Spawn to infiltrate our interior lines through the unguarded tunnels below us. If they successfully break our Midgardian Defense Force reserves, then each spear of Russ will be cut off from the Magma Gate's landing zones, as well as each other. I am therefore ordering Strike Force Fenris to withdraw by packs towards the Magma Gates. Once there, we will commence a staggered withdrawal into orbit, starting with the Defense Forces and ending with my own spear. Pack leaders, acknowledge."
As confirmations trickled back down the link, Egil had to fight to stay silent. His cold, calculated orders, so characteristic of the Iron Wolf, concealed the war which raged in his armor-plated breast. Logically, a stage withdrawal was the only option. Strike Force Fenris had stalled deep inside an utterly inimical environment, was on the brink of overstretching even as it was outflanked, and the enemy's numbers showed no sign of decreasing. To continue to advance ran the risk of seeing his entire great company overrun and annihilated, their remains eaten up by Midgardia's hideous plague jungles. But the old wolf was missing, somewhere below. If Egil took a backward step now, he knew he would be forever remembered as the one who had abandoned Logan Grimnar. If he saved his Iron Wolves by ordering a retreat, he damned himself forever in the eyes of his brothers. He snarled with frustration and keyed the vox again.
"An addendum to the previous orders. Conran Wolfhide of my own pack will be assuming command of the strike force with immediate effect until my return."
Conran's head snapped up, and he began to protest. Egil carried on, speaking over him.
"I will be taking the remainder of my Iron Guard underground to re-establish contact with the Great Wolf. The evacuation from the Magma Gates is to proceed as previously outlined. Within that framework, all pack leaders are to defer to Conran as though he speaks with my own voice. Is that clear?"
More affirmations, and now complaints too.
"Let the Cog Claws come with you, Lord," Kjartan Stoneye said over the vox. "My pack have been firing blind into spore clouds and wading through demon spore all day. Let us continue the iron hunt, Lord, I beg you."
"Is what the weirdlings are chanting true?"
Nocta Iceclaw of the Snowfangs asked before Egil could respond.
"Is the Great Wolf dead?"
"That is what I'm going to disprove," Egil said. "And the rest of you will follow my orders, or Russ help me, I will tear the fangs from the jaws of each and every pack leader in this great company. Show some discipline, Iron Wolves!"
"Lord,"
Conran began. He'd stood and was facing the Iron Wolf, bowed slightly in the hold's confined space. Egil raised the gauntlet before he could go any further.
"I know what you're going to say, Conran. There are no other options. I cannot let us all die here, and Midgardia's depths are no place for an armored column. But nor can I abandon the Great Wolf. You will take the Iron Wolves to the Magma Gates, and I will see you all again on the Bridge of the Wolf Tide."
For a moment, it seemed as though Conran would argue, but instead he just shook his head, his jaw locked and gauntlets clenched.
The nearest recorded entrance to the Midgardian underworld is 300 yards southwest of this position, Egil said, activating a map uplink on his visor's display. Directly towards the nearest Taliband. It's an old mine chute, designated Beta 11-7. The Iron Fist will take us that far, and then you will assume command and get my wolves clear of this hellhole. Understood?
Conran nodded, saying nothing, no longer looking at the Iron Wolf. Egil knew better than to push his obedience any further. He linked to the Land Raider Crusader's internal vox.
Torvald, all guns live. For Russ and the Allfather, take us forward.
Morkai's Keep, Frostheim. Karnis Wolfborn crouched, ignoring the ache in his joints. The day's bloodletting had been long and fierce. His armor bore the scars of demon blades and bolter rounds alike, and the foul ichor splattering its surface had only just begun to crust. The champion of Harald Deathwolf reached out and grasped the corpse before him by the pauldron, rolling it onto its back. The body was that of Snorri Redtooth, one of the Grey Hunters belonging to Eren Frostwolf's pack. Karnis only knew as much because he recognized Snorri's musk. The Grey Hunter's head was missing. Nor had his pack kin been any more fortunate. Karnis had been tracking their corpses deep into the vaults of Morkai's Keep for almost an hour. The only one he'd yet to find was Eren himself. The bodies of the Grey Hunters were certainly not alone down in the keep's depths. Through betrayal and vile maleficarum, the forces of chaos had seized the Space Wolves' fortress, presaging the beginning of the demonic incursions across the system. In the furious battle to recapture the stronghold from the treacherous Alpha Legion, fighting had spilled down into its lowest levels. Karnis had counted half a dozen Space Wolves' bodies, mostly Bloodclaws, whose names he'd forgotten, though he recalled their scents. They were outnumbered by the rag-clad cultists that carpeted the vaulted halls and corridors. All around, the mark of furious retribution was clear. In the bloody hacking and tearing of chain blades and the vicious, gory detonation of close-range bolt fire. There were even 3 Alpha Legionnaires, the stale stench of ancient corruption coming off their bodies, turning Canis's stomachs. But all of them had fallen at least 2 hours previously. Snorri and the rest of the dead Grey Hunters were fresh. Karnis carried on down the corridor, noting the location of Snorri's body on his Vambrace marker. Behind him, Fangir, his loyal Thunderwolf, padded silently. Karnis could sense the huge animal's tiredness mirroring his own by its slow, heavy panting. The beast's wiry fur was matted with blood, and not all of it belonged to the enemy. But there was no time to stop. Not yet. Like the Thunderwolf, Karnis had caught a scent. There was something still down here. Something that shouldn't be. At the end of the corridor, open blast doors marked the entrance to the keep's main armory. On its threshold, Karnis found Eren. The pack leader's cuirass had been split by a blow of incredible force, and his breastbone carved open, exposing the bloody mess of the wolf's inner organs. Inside the armory, more cultists lay butchered, but none of them could possibly have dealt such a wound. 2 other doors branched off from the entrance, one to the left and one to the right. Karnis closed his eyes and inhaled, opening his senses. There was still something lurking beneath the acrid stench of weapon discharges, the reek of stale sweat, the tang of blood and the pack musks of his fellow wolves. Something at once sickly sweet and bitter, wholly unnatural. He had caught it at the entrance to the vaults, as the rest of Harald's great company had begun the process of collecting their dead and incinerating heretic corpses. He had slipped away from the grim work, his instincts bristling. The fight was not yet over. The smell was coming from the right-hand door. It was the entrance to a munitions shaft, the floor sloping downwards into darkness. The lumen strips overhead had failed. Canis began to descend, trusting to his sense of smell. Even for a space wolf, it was keen. Canis was a natural-born predator, the only member of the Death Wolves able to match their lord, Harald, in the Great Hunt. Shadows were nothing to him. There were no more bodies. It seemed as though the fighting had passed this section of the vaults by, though that didn't explain why the blast door had been lying open. The unnatural smell grew stronger, a weirdling stench that caused the Space Wolf's hackles to rise. Ahead, he sensed, rather than saw, the shaft coming to an end, widening out into what he assumed was a munitions bunker. Behind, Fangir began to growl, the throaty noise reverberating through the narrow space. Canis slid his wolf claws free. There was a noise from ahead, his taut senses making it sound hellishly loud. The skitter of claws on rockcrete, the stench grew even worse.
Weirdlings, he snarled softly to Fangir.
His suspicions had to be right. Harald needed to be warned. He keyed his vox.
That was when the first demon launched itself, screeching from the darkness.
Long Howl, Valdemarni. For the first time in a long time, Crom Dragongaze found himself on his knees. It was not an injury that had driven him down, though blood still trickled from the rapidly clotting wound in his shoulder. The Demon Prince's blade had bitten deep, but the Wolf Lord had suffered worse. No, it was the realization of just how close they had all come to annihilation. Even before he had joined the ranks of the Sky Warriors, death had held no fear for Crom. But there were worse things in the galaxy than death. As the demonic invasions had spilled out across the system, Long Howl, the primary astropathic beacon on the Wolf Moon of Valdemarni, had come under attack. The fact that the chaos-tainted glyph planted in Long Howl's Coristorium would probably have obliterated Crom had never figured in his thinking as he'd led the assault to destroy it. What had driven him to his knees was the knowledge that, if he had failed, the sigil's infernal weirdling power would have lanced a false image of his space wolves slaughtering imperial subjects into the mind of every psyker in the segmentum. The illusion would have cemented the belief that the Sons of Russ had turned traitor and set the Imperium's might against the whole of Crom's chapter. The thought made his flesh crawl with disgust. A silver gauntlet, blackened by fire, appeared before the Wolf Lord. He clasped it and allowed himself to be hauled up by its strong grip.
"Well met, Dragongaze," said Captain Stern. The Grey Knight had removed his helmet, his noble features streaked with sweat. His armour was still smoking from the hellish weird fire which had engulfed it, the marks of warding and protection inscribed into the silver aegis plate glowing bright. "It is over?" Crom asked as he looked around.
Moments before, the Coristorium had been packed with howling demons and the wailing, melted remains of the station's possessed astropaths. Now it was a scorched, ichor-splattered wreck, the astropaths reduced to skeletal husks in their burned-out cradles. The chaos glyph that had been the epicenter of the warp ritual was split and broken, the multi-hued light that had blazed from it now doused. Crom remembered Stern forcing his way through the icon's weird flame and plunging his crackling force sword into its heart, shattering it. The moments that followed were a blur. Blinding light, shrieks of frustration and terror, a splitting pain that still throbbed dully behind Crom's eyes. But the demons were gone. They had won.
"It is over," said Stern.
Around the edges of the purged Coristorium, Grey Knights and Space Wolves alike were picking themselves up. Not all who had fallen rose again.
"We must establish contact with Fenris," Crom said. "Send word that the demons have been thwarted and that we are both still alive. That should give those who doubt us reason enough to reconsider."
Stern nodded. The ritual was supposed to have set the wolves and the knights against one another, but even with the demonic plot defeated, there was no telling how the Imperium was responding to the events in the Fenris system. Massive warp incursions, mutation among the Adeptus Astartes, rumours of treachery. Something had set out to destroy the Space Wolves, and it had come diabolically close to succeeding.
"I must return to the Fang," Crom continued. "I cannot leave it unguarded a moment longer." "Then go with my thanks. Your assistance here was invaluable," Stern said. "If you had not left Fenris to come to our aid, I could never have stopped the ritual in time." "Bjorn, the fell-handed, saw you trapped and killed," Crom said. "I would not have left the Fang on any word save his."
A vox blurt interrupted Stern before he could respond. The signal's ident code belonged to Crom's flagship, the Winterbite.
"My lord, we are receiving a priority message from the Fang," said the voice of one of the ship's huskarls.
"Patch me through," Crom ordered, turning away from Stern.
After a moment's static, the voice of Albjorn Fogel, chief vox huskarl of the Fang's communications array, spoke to him over the link.
"My lord, our long-range auger sweeps have detected a large fleet translating in-system. The signifier codes are all Imperial. Thus far, we've identified strike cruisers and battle barges belonging to the Ultramarines, Iron Hands, Marines Malevolent, Doom Griffins, and Shadow Haunters, along with capital ships of the Imperial Navy's 32nd Obscurus subfleet, Night Carriers from House Mortan, and 6 Astra Militarum mass transporters. We also believe..."
Fogel trailed off.
"Go on," Crom said.
"My lord, one of the signifiers belongs to the Fortress Monastery of the Dark Angels. We believe the rock arrived in Fenrisian real space approximately 20 minutes ago."
"Hail them," Crom said.
"We've tried, lord. They refuse to even acknowledge the signal connection. Our ships around Midgardia, Svelgard, and Frostheim are also reporting no contact."
Crom broke the connection for a moment to look at Stern.
"A crusade fleet has just entered the system," he growled. "Led by the Dark Angels." "It's as I feared," Stern said. "Supreme Grand Master Azrael has been shadowing your chapter since he learned of your genetic anomaly on Neurades. I suspect he believes the Space Wolves to be tainted."
"Fogel!"
Crom snapped into the vox.
"Yes, lord?"
"Raise all shields and prime defensive batteries. Advise all our fleet assets throughout the system to do likewise. I am returning to the Fang immediately."
"Yes, lord. Are we on a war footing?"
"Not unless they fire first." "You need to take me to the rock," Stern said. "If they won't open their vox nets to any communications from us, I must speak with Azrael directly." "Your battle barge is ashes, Stern," Crom said. "If you wish to leave this moon, you are welcome aboard the Winterbite. But I am going direct to the Fang. I have already sullied my oath by abandoning it to come here. I will not compound my dishonor further by leaving the Hearthworld to the mercy of fools and zealots."
"As you wish," Stern said. "But once there, I must request the use of one of your ships."
"And you shall have it," Crom said. "It would be well if you reached Azrael before he reaches me, because All-Father protect him if he launches a single strike against any part of this system."